Welcome to Life Point Drivecast. My name is Corey, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Plain City campus. Grateful to be with you today and that you're listening. Well, over the last 4 weeks, we've been in a series called Asking for a Friend. And the idea behind the series is that we frequently have questions surrounding our relationships. And we've been saying all throughout the series that we believe God offers us answers to life's toughest questions. Now, God doesn't always give us the easiest answer to our questions, but He does give us the best answers in how to believe correctly and treat one another carefully. And on Sunday, we wrapped up this series by asking the question, what's the big deal about marriage and divorce? That in some form or fashion, marriage has impacted all of our lives, good or bad, and divorce has also impacted many of our lives. Well, in 1 Corinthians, the early church was asking Paul about these things, and he responds to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 and says, "To the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife." Here, Paul is talking to Christian couples, and he states that they should not pursue divorce. He clearly states that. However, if they do, we are sinful human beings. We live in a broken world. Paul says they should stay unmarried or seek reconciliation with their spouse. Now, there's a bunch of questions and rabbit trails and scenarios we could go down, but what I'd like to draw our attention to is Paul saying, "Not I, but the Lord." Because that means the Lord has laid out specific instructions for marriage and divorce for us. And Paul here is referencing Jesus's teaching on marriage and divorce. He's referencing Matthew chapter 19 because it's there the Pharisees actually come to Jesus and ask him about divorce. And in Matthew chapter 19 in verse 3, we see that the Pharisees came up to him being Jesus and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" Well, Jesus answering said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Jesus's greatest response to divorce is to point and lift up God's original design for marriage. Why? Well, no one knows that which has been created better than the Creator. No one knows the intent of what they created better than Creator. I know for us, we just set up a new soundbar in our living room and we started with the instruction manual from the manufacturer. Why? Because they created the soundbar, they know what its purpose is, they know how best to set it up, they know best how to maintain it and get the best results out of it. And many of us just got the latest update to our iPhones. And what did we do? We followed the instructions from Apple. Why? Because they created it. They know its purpose. They know how best to set it up, maintain it, and get the best results. You and I don't look at the manual for our car to set up the soundbar, and we don't go looking at our microwave's instruction manual to update our phone. In the same way, Paul and Jesus go back to the beginning and to the Creator, because what God did when He established the first marriage teaches us without a shadow of a doubt what God, the Creator, had in mind for man and woman and marriage. That God created marriage and He knows what its purpose is. He knows how to set it up. He knows how to maintain it. And He knows how to get the best results. Which means marriage is under God's authority, not humans. That it's God's institution, not man's. Therefore, His instruction trumps all others. It means that God holds the standard on marriage, not society, not culture, not the loudest voice, not the government, not Hollywood, not you, not me, and not our feelings. That what God established in the beginning holds fast and true today. That we have not outgrown His design for marriage. That we have not evolved past His purpose for marriage. That God is not out of date. He's not out of touch. His design for marriage is just as relevant today as it was when He established it. And so Jesus said, God created them from the beginning and made them male and female. And a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. They two shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh, and whatever God has joined together, let no man separate. Think about this for a moment. In the beginning, it's God and Adam. It's paradise. It's perfection. There is no sin. There is no death. There's no separation between man and God. It's heaven on earth. And God says it's not good for man to be alone. He says, I'll make a helper for him. And out of all the relationships he could have designed, out of all the relationships he could have given to Adam or set as the example, God didn't give Adam a friend. He didn't give Adam a coworker, a child, a dog. And I think that's key to take note of, because what God doesn't do speaks as loud and as clear as what he does do. And out of an infinite number of options God could have come up with, he designs the relationship of marriage, one man and one wife for one life. That's the example. That's the model. That's the design. And in the covenant of marriage, the design involves two becoming one flesh. That God's design for marriage is one plus one equals one. Now, this is such an important relationship that Jesus says, what God has joined together, let no man separate. God intends that this oneness in marriage never be broken, separated, or divorced from one another. Now, Jesus does give one exemption for divorce, and Paul gives another. Jesus says divorce is permitted when adultery is involved. And Paul says divorce is permitted if a non-Christian spouse leaves a Christian spouse. However, divorce is not the default response in those cases. Repentance, restoration, salvation, and reconciliation should be the first goal. And I'd encourage you to listen to the full-length messages for a more exhaustive explanation on those. However, what we cannot miss is that Jesus' first and best approach to addressing divorce is to live out God's original design for marriage, which is why it's so important that we make sure our view of marriage aligns with God's design. That marriage is to be one flesh, a covenant of faithfulness between one man and one woman for life. And if we build marriage after God's ideal design, we will not have to worry about divorce. And I wonder what would happen if we focused on God's design for marriage, what the creator of marriage has to say first and foremost, right? I believe if we do that, marriages would be healthier, homes would be sweeter, kids would be better, families would be stronger, communities would even improve, and future homes and future marriages and future families and future kids would experience the same. And it just might be a wonderful taste of what God intended from the beginning, and I think deep down, that's something we all would love to see come to fruition. Let me pray for us today. Heavenly Father, thank you for walking us through this tough but relevant series. I pray that we allow your word and the things you brought to light for us to change and impact our lives both now and the days ahead. I want to pray for those whose marriages are doing well. May they continue on the path that you designed for them, and may they come alongside others to bless those and help their marriages be strong also. I pray for those struggling in their marriage today. May they turn to you and find restoration and reconciliation and healing. May they fight for their marriage today. Would you mend that which is broken, doing a great work in both of the spouses' lives? May they lean into you and see their marriage become what you want it to be, healthy and thriving. I pray for those single today. May they set your design for marriage as the foundation for their lives. May they seek a spouse who does the same. And may they see how your design will help them to have the best marriage possible. I pray for those divorced. If possible, may they find reconciliation with their ex-spouse. If that isn't possible, may they lean into you, finding contentment and peace in the state that you have them in. And for those divorced and remarried today, may they glorify you in their current marriage. May they bless you in how they live their lives and how they live out their marriage for your glory. God, help us to see your high view of marriage. And Lord, may we pursue you and live out your design for marriage, knowing it's the best design for our lives and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.